Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 9:30 in 716.
Remembering D-Day 75 years later.
If I don't make it, Bill said, please, please, take care of my family. Ray asked his brother to do the same. Of the 31 men on Ray's landing craft, only Ray and six others made it to the beach.
We tell those stories like we did them. We're so proud of our legacy of that division that was able to do the things that our, you know, grandfathers did. But those stories continue to live on because each one of those units, you know, remembers what their forefathers did, and it's a part of our legacy too.
I'm Tim Wenger on 9:30 and 716. President Trump, French President Emmanuel Macron, and other leaders marking the 75th anniversary of the Normandy invasion that helped liberate Europe and set the foundation for the modern transatlantic alliance.
They came from the farms of a vast heartland, the streets of glowing cities, and the forges of mighty industrial towns. Before the war, many had never ventured beyond their own community.
President Trump speaking for nearly a half hour at the ceremony, at one point focusing on the Americans who converged on the beaches of Normandy.
Now they had come to offer their lives half a world from home. This beach, codenamed Omaha, was defended by the Nazis with monstrous firepower, thousands and thousands of mines and spikes driven into the sand so deeply. It was here that tens of thousands of the Americans came, the GIs who boarded the landing craft that morning, knew that they carried on their shoulders not just the pack of a soldier, but the fate of the world. Colonel George Taylor, whose 16th Infantry Regiment would join in the first wave, was asked what would happen if the Germans stopped. Right then and there, cold on the beach, just stopped them. What would happen? This great American replied, "Why, the 18th Infantry is coming in right behind us. The 26th Infantry will come on too. Then there is the 2nd Infantry Division, already afloat, and the 9th Division, and the 2nd Armored, and the 3rd Armored, and all the rest. Maybe the 16th won't make it, but someone will." One of those men in Taylor's 16th Regiment was Army medic Ray Lambert. Ray was only 23, but he had already earned 3 Purple Hearts and 2 Silver Stars fighting in North Africa and Sicily, where he and his brother Bill, no longer with us, served side by side. In the early morning hours, the two brothers stood together on the deck of the USS Henrico before boarding 2 separate Higgins landing craft. "If I don't make it," Bill said, "please, please, take care of my family." Ray asked his brother to do the same. Of the 31 men on Ray's landing craft, only Ray and 6 others made it to the beach. There were only a few of them left. They came to the sector right here below us. Easy Red, it was called. Again and again, Ray ran back into the water He dragged out one man after another. He was shot through the arm. His leg was ripped open by shrapnel. His back was broken. He nearly drowned. He had been on the beach for hours, bleeding and saving lives, when he finally lost consciousness. He woke up the next day on a cot beside another badly wounded soldier. He looked over and saw his brother Bill. They made it. They made it. They made it. At 98 years old, Ray is here with us today with his fourth Purple Heart and his third Silver Star from Omaha. Ray, the free world salutes you.
D-Day, now a 75-year memory, history, world-changing.
The real story of D-Day.
Our own David Bellavia, decorated Iraq War veteran, thinking about the meaning of D-Day and trying to characterize it all.
The idea that, you know, it's one thing to know as you're coming in on that Higgins boat, you see your own, you know, brothers getting torn up. But these guys that landed on the beachhead, these weren't professional soldiers. These were young men who literally had maybe 6 weeks of training. The rehearsals for Normandy resulted in over 1,000 dead Americans. They were at risk for U-boat attacks. The live fire exercises were very dangerous. And there was so much deception to fool the Germans as to where we were going, how we were going to land. But it's one thing to land on the beachhead and meet that machine gun fire and mortar fire. It's another thing to know that first wave got nailed, but that second wave of Americans that landed on Omaha literally were almost 97% attrited. They were completely taken out, and you've got a third, a fourth, a sixth, up to 15 different waves, and you're seeing the results of what happened before you, and those men still ran forward, still took out the pillboxes. One of the most incredible stories of American valor.
Yeah, I'm thinking now to, you know, some of the ways this has been represented in media over time. I'm thinking of Band of Brothers in that scene where they're in the plane and it's just silence. All you hear is the noise of the plane and what is coming up ahead. And just the look on everybody's faces, and it kind of does a good job maybe of relaying that message of what you're running into, you don't know, and what you do know isn't good. I can't imagine what that feeling was for everybody who took part in that invasion.
I mean, again, it's sometimes, you know, you're that young, and you're really, no one had done anything like that before. And there's a reason why, you know, when you look at the amount of deception that we put out there, there were dummy parachutes. Literally, you know, we just threw parachutes out there to make the Germans think that more people were landing than they did. There were planes that were dropping a bunch of tin foil so that the radar would get, you know, bounce backs and not know how many planes were in the air. But it got real, you know, quickly. We're talking about night drops. There's no night vision. Most of these guys didn't even know where they were. You talk about Band of Brothers. They had the, you know, the challenge in the call was like, you know, they would have a clicker, and if you heard the clicker, an American was near you. But those units were completely separated. It took, you know, almost a day and a half just to find out where the guys from your units were, and then of course you had to fight the Germans after that. But again, this was so important. This was the beginning of the liberation of Paris, the beginning of the dominoes that fell for the Nazis. And again, one of the things that was so important about this day 75 years ago, the weather was absolutely horrible. And the Germans had a lot of safety and security in the thought process that the Americans would not dare, you know, try this. The Allies would not do this with such horrible weather conditions. It was overcast, it was cloudy, there was a lot of rain, the water was choppy, and they still did it. And that really is what allowed the Allies to get that foothold, because the Germans could not reinforce. But even after D-Day, this fight went on until August 25th, and you know, the casualties were crazy. The hedgerows, just really thick vegetation that they had to plow through. But this was a very long, long day, and it went on until mid-August, late August.
You know, and yet you listen to these veterans tell their stories, and they're modest, they're humble. You know, they're the quiet heroes who shaped history.
That generation just speaks volumes. You know, what the when you consider, you know, and our Canadian friends, in this was truly, you know, people talk a lot about the French and, you know, the cliche of how the Germans just went right through. Without French intelligence, without women serving Nazis bread at those bunkers, those women, those artists that, you know, were appearing to help and give comfort to the Nazis, they were our eyes and ears on the ground. They drew intricate photos and pictures of each bunker and gave that over to SAS, gave that over to Allied intelligence, and we had a perfect, you know, idea of what these guys were going into because of the French underground and the French nationals who were helping out. This really was all hands on deck. We had a lot of friends, and a lot of people bled, and a lot of people died, and it was, you know, a moment where, you know, the world was united against tyranny.
I hear a lot of people saying today that this is something that could never happen again.
Never. Never. In fact, this is the first time you're going to hear an American president. Normally, D-Day, when you commemorate D-Day, it's followed with a big hurrah, hooray for NATO. This is the first time an American president has, you know, gone over there to lay a wreath to talk about D-Day and isn't really banging the drum for NATO at all. The world has changed. The Cold War, you know, affected that. The most recent wars, when you saw France kind of turn against the Americans when it came to Iraq and Afghanistan, it's a totally different world. And, you know, are we better? Are we stronger for it? You know, really kind of depends on your politics. But I think one thing is you can look back at the generation that fought in World War II and say that this is truly one of the most amazing stories of American valor in our entire history. And those brave men, you know, so young, so earnest, and they went out there and walked right into overwhelming odds and won.
Yeah. Sad to know, though, too, that this is the last big get-together of this group, given their age.
Yeah, no, we saw that with Pearl Harbor too. You know, it's like this generation, we're just losing them. You know, I remember the day the last American World War I veteran died, and you think, well, you know, it's time moves on, but those stories move on too, and we're losing so many World War II veterans every single day. It's heartbreaking, but at the same time, you know, those stories are really going to live forever, and that generation is, you know, it's absolutely just. It's humbling, and especially when you serve in a division. I served in the 1st Infantry Division. They took Omaha Beach. We tell those stories like we did them. We're so proud of our legacy of that division that was able to do the things that our, you know, grandfathers did. But those stories continue to live on because each one of those units, you know, remembers what their forefathers did, and it's a part of our legacy too.
Our hearts will forever be loyal. And our children and their children will forever and always be free. May God bless our great veterans. May God bless our allies. May God bless the heroes of D-Day. And may God bless America. Thank you. Thank you very much.
That's 930 in 716. We're back tomorrow with another edition from the studios of WBEN Buffalo.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.